So, Periapsis Press, can you kind of tell us what your site is and who your target audience is?
Sure. So Periapsis Press started with as kind of a reaction. My husband, David Room, published, I think it was in 2019, his first book, Uriel's Revenge. And it's a sci-fi book. And we were sort of exposed to indie publishing for the first time and sort of realized that there wasn't a lot out there as far as help for readers in finding good science fiction fantasy to enjoy, and that there was a lot of desire on the part of indie authors to do things to support one another, but there wasn't a lot of time. And reading is my hobby and my passion. I like in high school just read everything I could get my hands on, and sort of coming out of college wanted to continue to do productive things with my consumption of so much entertainment. So I was already spending a lot of time reading and wanting to create a content with it. And it seemed like this was a good match for me.
So are you primarily writing these reviews for your indie author group of people, or are these reviews that people seeking out good sci-fi fantasy are wanting to come and read?
Primarily focused on readers, so people who are seeking out good sci-fi fantasy. And the reason for that is I see a lot of need for stuff that's focused on readers. A lot of book blogging, a lot of authors' blogs, unfortunately, start to tend towards talking to the people who are the same as them. So other bloggers, other authors, where I wanted to design the website so that it would be easy for readers to find stuff. So I have the long form reviews so that people can really dig in and decide if something's right for them. But then I also have it set up so that it's easy to just browse by the covers in such a way that you know that we recommend the book because we only do positive, and you can do it without getting any spoilers or whatever.
Sure. Yeah, and I like how your site is set up, and it's nice because you can dig into sci-fi or fantasy, and you split those up, and we're going to talk about that here in just a second. But then you also have what I always have a hard time is people say, oh, what are your like top three favorite books? And I always have to be like, okay, we're going to have to talk about like sci-fi, time travel, but like time travel in the future, not time travel in the past. And I really have to like really negotiate my genres of how I'm going to break down my list. It's, you know, like asking my favorite movie. It's like, no, sorry. Like I can tell you what I've liked in the past 6 months, but yeah. So I have like three books and they're all sci-fi. So those are my go-to one where I'm not taxing myself or the person who's just making polite conversation be like, no, come on, just tell me. And I don't really care at this point. So yeah, I like your breakdown. So if I'm looking for kaiju sci-fi, there's a section for that, or weird Western. I really like that. So yeah,
that's cool.
So we're talking about kind of two genres, right? Sci-fi, fantasy. And, so one of the reasons also to have you on is, in Scott Christian's book, What About Evil? He wants to present a meta narrative overview of not just scripture, but world history. And those two, interact with each other. And, we've also been, I've also been listening to J.D. Wilson's Stories Are Soul Food podcast, where he's really looking at kind of a stories and fiction from a Christian worldview. And so I'm getting inundated with a lot of this. So it's stirring up my mind. So what about these two genres? Should we separate or should we not? And we're kind of just talking about them as kind of the consumer culture as. And then what what either sets them apart or what really defines their ending. So, you know, Kurt Vonnegut's Slaughterhouse-Five. It's a time travel and aliens, but it's kind of not really. And so it's just sometimes hard to define genres, especially right now when people are trying to deconstruct everything and tell anti-hero stories that you don't like the characters and they don't like you as a reader. So I find myself being very neurotic as how I could define these genres if I tried. And I'm all about definitions.
Sure. There's a lot of discussion around that. The way that I approach it is from a reader's perspective, which is, how do I find what I want to read next? Genre splitting is really more of a publishing thing, where it's to help you target your market to craft reader expectations. So the way that, and it's not perfect, obviously, the way that I have approached it is setting based. So if something is set in space, I say sci-fi straight off the bat. And if it's set in a more traditionally fantasy world, that's when I say fantasy. Obviously, there's a lot of overlap between the two, and that's what makes it so hard.
I just remember going to Barnes & Noble's and having to always go to the back, no matter what Barnes & Noble's you were at. And Barnes & Noble's was this bookstore that you went to and purchased books. It was a weird concept. And you'd always have to walk all the way in the back, and like, you had to share it with, like, the weird art people, and you know, then we could hang out as a collective of misfits in the back, and it was always you know, walk past the fiction, you walk back to your past your history, and there they were in glorious two shelves. You may have gotten three, which was really nice, but then they added manga to it, and so you kind of lost space in there, and it was always sci-fi and fantasy. And so it's, you know, if it could be set in the world of Tolkien, fantasy, but then you brought in other things like wizards with hockey sticks, and you're like, okay, well, now it's urban fantasy, but is that sci-fi now? Cause it's in the modern perspective. So it's really hard to fit in, but that's also a good thing, because then we have more stories to tell, and we're not, you know, having to write "There once was a hobbit who lived in a hole" type
right. Yeah. So I try to use my genre tags as more of a help for readers than as a hard and fast, like, this is a kaiju thriller, as opposed to the mech thriller that didn't have kaiju, but the kaiju also has mechs. So.
If the kaiju has magic, then it's a harder one.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So then, are your authors that you're bringing in, we're kind of going to talk about from a Christian perspective, are they, only Christians? Are they writing for Christian audiences, or is it more your, I guess, your idea is to bring good fiction to a Christian audience, or is it just from your perspective where you're wanting to read just from or recommend from your worldview?
So I think on the about page I say, like, stuff that doesn't come into conflict with our Christian worldview, and like, that's pretty open. So the authors and their stories don't have to be Christian. We have stories by people, I have no idea, you know, what their religious views are. I try to pick Christian authors when I can, but sometimes it's just whatever catches my eye, and then I read it and I decide. I really feel that the idea that all stories point back to God's story is a legitimate one. So I don't feel that the stories or the authors have to be Christian per se, because they're going to point back to God if they are good stories. That being said, we do try to pick stories that have thematic messages that are in line with what we believe, not necessarily just about God, but about like the whole, our whole worldview in general. So, I think that really opens up a nice diversity of like thematic stuff too, because you get authors who are Christian who don't feel like they have to be preaching. We have Paul Thompson's Drosselmeyer, right? He's got this great focus on a social issue. And then I've got people like TJ Marquis's Heroes Metal stuff, where he tackles the sovereignty of God, right? Like, so like they run the gambit of interesting topics, but their stories aren't about those things. They just have those as underlying messages.
Gotcha.